tool that doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you're coming, all you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna call my shot. Tell you what I got. Roll rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into roll rage. Roll rage. Roll rage.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar. You want in, you're welcome to 654-7627, 654-7627. I have a million things I want to get to on this show. I want to mention one thing. I heard Brett Favre, I mentioned this on Twitter, but I thought it was interesting. I heard Brett Favre on satellite radio. He's not being interviewed. I actually think he's doing some satellite radio now. And it's interesting because, you know, he's not a guy, and listening to him, that you would think would really be on radio. But I think what you get from him is a genuineness that I'm not sure you get everywhere else. But in any case, this specifically relates to the game in New Orleans. And Favre has played New Orleans. He's played in both venues, New Orleans and Kansas City. And, you know, and he talked about how easily Brady handled that environment. But he talked about New Orleans. If you remember the scenes of, Goff being like all the way out in the slot trying to talk to wide receivers. You know, I'm convinced that I've never... Now, it's through the television, but I'm convinced I've never seen a louder crowd that has stayed engaged as long and as fully as that crowd did. I'm coming to you guys in a minute. But Favre talked about the nature of having to play in that stadium, and he said that you can't hear or be heard even if you're screaming and the guy is 2 feet away from you. He said you actually have to work on reading lips to try and understand what is being said. He said it's just impossible to communicate. Impossible. And I think you saw that early. Again, the Rams had played in that venue, but even then, I don't think it was like it was in this deal. In that first quarter, they were clearly affected, impacted, thrown off by the nature of that crowd. But I thought it was interesting from a guy who's played in that venue, in that noise, to be discussing it, saying, he also said this one, he said he couldn't speak for days afterward. He said because he screamed the whole game, and it took like 3-4 days for his voice to come back at all, that he was so hoarse.
Wow, that makes total sense, though.
Yeah. And again, he said 2 feet. You couldn't hear or be heard from 2 feet. You would be screaming. He said you would be screaming to people who were 2 feet away, looking at your face, and if they couldn't read your lips, they had no idea what you were saying. Now, that's noise. That's affecting the game. And again, those people did their part. The people who didn't was the Saints football team. The crowd did their part. The crowd was an enormous advantage. I mean, quite honestly, that game played on a neutral field. Nobody would be talking about any call because the Rams would have kicked the living crap out of them. Yellow Jacket and Linda. Yellow Jacket, what's going on?
Hey, well, thank you very much. You're really doing a public service there by talking about people out on walkers along the roads at night wearing dark clothing. It is a very dangerous element. It really is. And the other points that you're making in relationship to that are bicyclists. I drive often, many, many, many times, between Greenville and Brevard, and I go up past Caesar's Head. That is a very, very, very popular biking area. On weekends, you'll see, 5-10 bikes per minute going up that roadway.
Right.
And it's amazing how they just assume, you get the sense that the bikers are always assuming many, many curves on that road. There's probably 15 hairpin turns per mile.
Right.
And the bikers are, act as if they always assume that the drivers are looking out for them. It's hard enough to drive up that hill anyway without having to look out for someone else. You come around the curve, and there suddenly off to your right side is a biker. Now, where the problem is really complicated, Walt, is when you see two bikers riding abreast of each other. And I hope some bikers are listening to this conversation. You'll see two bikers abreast, one right on the edge of the road and another one 3 or 4 feet inside the road. A lot of times that will cause traffic to back up, automobile and bus traffic to back up. And then as things go along, someone, one of the drivers, the auto drivers, begins to get frustrated. And he starts to pass. And he'll try to pass on a curve, a double yellow line, creating dangers for everybody in that situation. I've had to drive off the road, Walt, to avoid those frustrated drivers trying to get around two bikers biking abreast of each other. It is a very dangerous thing, and we really need to refine some state law with respect to that. All it is right now is, hey, the bikers have the right-of-way, and we drivers are just going to have to look out for them.
Yep.
That's all,
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Yellow Jacket. Yeah, you know, again, that's a different conversation that I don't really want to get into, and I'm not gonna, and just for the record, I don't want to continue this the rest of the show either. We're done with this topic. Okay. But you know, I saw this happen in Anderson the other night, and I felt it needed to be said in light of the news story on it, because again, something I encounter so frequently. That's an entirely different issue. It is absolutely dangerous. But those people are at least acting within their legal rights. And until the law addresses that, there's nothing that can be done about that one way or another. But that's totally different from the situation that I was originally discussing and the one you'd started to discuss. But we're done with this topic. I just wanted to make my point. And I think it's, you know, I think that just in general, all these police agencies need to be more aware of this. I'm sure they are aware of it, but something needs to be done about it. We're done with that now. Linda, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you getting in.
You talked to me, but I talked to you guys last year, and I'm like, I'm back again.
Hey, good.
Patriots fan. I think the Patriots did an awesome job, and, I mean, people are just, like, knocking them down. It's getting really old. I can't even go to work. I get teased daily about how stupid, and it was the ref's fault and everything else you can think of. I'm like, come on, just admit it. They were good.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Linda. Here's the thing. Just tell them this. The Patriots had 36 first downs and 530 yards, and the Chiefs had 18 first downs, exactly half, and 290 yards. The truth about the game is it was really total domination by New England, and Kansas City was actually fortunate to even be in the game.
I was so proud of them. I just want to say I'm so proud of them. They did an awesome job. They were all focused, and that's what you need to do in a football game. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, we're going to talk about the Patriots coming up.
Their mind was there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Patriots coming up right now. Not just that, but more specifically, how have they done it? Where do they fit in history? Where does Brady fit in history amongst the greatest team sport athletes that have ever lived? All that is coming up moments from now, Linda.
And also, Kai, one more question. What do you think about the Super Bowl? Do you think they have a shot to win it all?
Yeah, I think they will win. I mean, I'm not ready to make a score prediction or anything, but I predicted these two teams before the start of the year. I had the Patriots playing. I had the Patriots playing the Rams before the start of the year, and I think the Rams present New England several unique challenges that the two prior teams did not. Most notably, how great the defensive tackles are, because Brady doesn't care about these edge rushers. Brady does not care about, you know, the San Diego Chargers. in Bosa and in Melvin Ingram have two of the best edge rushers in football. Kansas City has great edge rushers. Brady does not care about that because he gets rid of the ball so quickly that even those great edge guys, they just can't affect him. The ball is out before they get anywhere near him. The Rams present a different challenge because their best defensive players, Aaron Donald, who led the league in sacks with 20 and a half, is a defensive tackle. And so he's coming up the middle. And Brady does not like pressure in his face, and neither does any quarterback. But that's why the Rams pose a little bit of a different challenge than the prior teams that the Patriots played. But at the end of the day,
Belichick's going to have to be smarter.
Right. And at the end of the day, one team still has Brady and one has Goff. And I like Goff, but I'm not picking anybody against Brady. So that's,
well, let's put it this way. If they win, I'm hiding somewhere because everybody at work is giving me so much help. I'm like, just leave me alone. I'm not in the game. You go to work here.
I like
but anyway, I think they were awesome, and that's all I'm going to say to whoever's listening to me.
There you go. Well done, Linda. All thank right. you. I want to get into this topic and discuss this. I wrote this on Twitter earlier today, Ramona, and I have other things I want to get to on the show, but this is the framework of the question. Are the Patriots the greatest single era dynasty in team sport history? Single era. So look, if you ask who's the greatest dynasty in sports history, it's the New York Yankees. I mean, that's clear. And then second is probably the Boston Celtics. And I think that's probably equally clear. Or maybe the Montreal Canadiens or something. But I'm asking about a single era and whether the Patriots in the 18, 19 years of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, whether they're now the greatest single era dynasty in team sports history. I've had some people say yes, yes, yes. Tracy says it's close, but I'm sticking with pre-expansion Yankees. The second part of that is Brady now the greatest team sport athlete of all time? We've moved past, I mean, except for Stephen A. Smith, who finally declared that Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time today. Stephen A. Smith, as somebody tweeted me that earlier, he seems to be about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years behind. I don't know. I don't know how Stephen gets his mail. Apparently the Pony Express. But,
oh, man.
But you know, Ramona, he's just compounded his mistakes. You know, the insanity of, you know, he's talking about players who were out all year as being big factors in the game coming up. And then the other day, he's talking about Kareem Hunt being a big factor for the Saints.
Well, that's not...
Wrong team, wrong guy, not in the league. I mean,
is bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think they're going to get to a point where they're at least going to have to bring him in for some after-school classes.
For some cue cards or something
needs,
like that.
He needs a little bit of tutelage.
Cheat notes or something.
Right, something. He needs something. I mean, I grant you that they sort of run the guy ragged. They get him popping up all over the place and things I'm sure he knows nothing about. But nonetheless, I mean, there are some basic things that you sort of need to know about if you're going to talk about him publicly. In any case, the question two is Brady now the greatest team sport athlete of all time? And then most importantly, other than the obvious in Brady, in the elementary, in Bill Belichick, how did they do it in an era designed to prevent dominance? And I wrote, I know. I'll talk to you at 3 p.m. And I do know. And I don't think 31 other teams in the NFL do know. You know, first of all, on the first question, on the question of are the Patriots the greatest single-era dynasty in team sports history, here are the others in my mind. You have the Montreal Canadiens, who no one wrote me, but I didn't include, but I could have. Bill Russell Celtics. Starting in 1957, Russell Celtics won the NBA title 11 out of 13 years. They won 8 consecutive championships. 8. Yogi Berra's Yankees. Why are they Yogi Berra's Yankees? Well, because he won more world championships than any other player. He won 10 world championships and is the greatest baseball winner of all time. Do you know, Ramona, that Yogi Berra stood 5'7"?
No, I didn't know that.
He was a little tiny guy, tough as nails. You never, looking at him, of all the people involved in all the sports that we've ever seen, the least, from an appearance standpoint, the one that was least likely was Yogi Berra. There was nothing about Yogi Berra that looked like he was a great athlete, a great player, but he was all that stuff in a bag of chips. 10 World Series titles, Yogi Berra. Otto Graham's Browns. Now, Brown played in multiple, or Graham played in multiple leagues, and that certainly hurt him in terms of titles because, again, he won 7-8 titles. Lombardi's Packers, who weren't just involved the first couple Super Bowls, but they were winning NFL championships before that. Chuck Knoll's Steelers. And by the way, you can use whatever name you want with these. I've just associated a name with them, especially when, you know, there were so many great players like those Pittsburgh Steelers teams. Jordan and Pippen's Chicago Bulls. DeBartolo's 49ers, who just stockpiled talent. And I think those are some of the other single era dynasties in sport history that you might compare this Patriots team to. The San Antonio Spurs, you might consider as a part of that conversation. We'll continue this on the other side. There are a million things to get to. Eventually, we're going to morph into the top 10 players in NFL history. We're also going to have more Clemson-Florida State basketball talk a little later in the show. Walter Tiller, Road Rage, quick break.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialist can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented poly-level process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Fried chicken just like Mama makes. Seafood platters and fresh fried oysters. Not to mention our famous lizard dinner. No kidding. Who serves up all this deliciousness? The Chicken Basket. 226-3242, Highway 24 in Anderson.
Let us bring your new Honda directly to you. Hendrick Honda Easley now offers direct on-site demos of your new Honda. Don't want to deal with traffic? Hendrick Honda Easley will bring your new Honda to your work, home, or church. Call today to schedule your personal on-site car buying experience from Hendrick Honda Easley. Call 864-855-1234 or visit ilovehendrickhondaeasley.com. Again, ilovehendrickhondaeasley.com. Experience a world-class difference at Hendrick Honda Easley.
You know when you have about a billion things to do today, and then you realize you're out of whatever it is that you really need, and next day shipping isn't going to cut it because you really need it in like an hour. Yeah. That's when you turn to Office Depot Office Max. Buy what you need online at officedepot.com or on our app and pick it up in store for free in just 1 hour so you can get back to whatever else is lurking on your to-do list. Hurry in and save on tax software. Save today at Office Depot Office Max. Offer expires January 26, 2019.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When a client calls, what do you want them to hear? Your personal voicemail?
Hey, you've reached Greg's cell phone. I'm away right now, obviously. Leave a message and maybe I'll get back to you.
Or something a little more buttoned up, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Thanks for calling Green Landscaping. To make an appointment, dial 1. For billing, dial 2. To speak with Greg Smith, dial 3.
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
ACD Sports in Eastley says congrats to the Clemson Tigers. Our Clemson fan shop on Highway 123 in Eastley is loaded with a huge variety of national championship t-shirts, caps, magnets, flags, drinkware, license plates, and everything you need to show that pride and love for our national champion, Clemson Tigers. Visit our store and see our selection before you buy online. Buy local right here with Clemson fans like you. The Clemson Fan Shop at ACD Sports in Eastley on Highway 123 in the Hamrick Shopping Center.
For over 30 years, one family has owned and operated Roto-Rooter, helping thousands of home and business owners like you. That's what they do 24/7, 365, with a real voice to talk to when your plumbing issues become their plumbing issues. Rest easy knowing Roto-Rooter is there for you, serving the upstate and western North Carolina for over 30 years. 288-7686, rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Hurry into Bojangles for your choice of a 4-piece chicken supreme snack or a 2-piece chicken dinner for just $3.99 each. Bojangles, it's bow time.
No one's better than Walt's Daptula. Just ask it. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
I don't know what's going on in the world anymore.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Tulu Road Rage, we're to be CCP 105.5 The Roar. I'm sure you noticed how cold it is out right now. What's the high today? Like 35?
I don't know, but it was cold. Yeah, it's
that nippy thing. It's not warm. Here's the thing. I don't know what that does to your plumbing system. I don't need to know. I host a sports talk show, but I know who knows. My friends at Roto-Rooter, they know expansion, contraction, all that stuff. Here's the thing. I know when it suddenly gets cold after it hasn't been cold, your pipes can burst. It's a major hazard. Have you taken action to prevent that from happening? If you go to rotorooter.com and you follow their helpful hints, you'll avoid having that happen. If you don't do that, there's a good chance you're going to run into trouble. Here's the good news. Roto-Rooter is going to be there, live human being, 24/7. Think about that, Rona. How many businesses in life now can you get a live human being 24/7? 365. Not many. But you call Roto-Rooter when your pipes burst tonight at midnight. You call Roto-Rooter and a live human being is going to answer your phone call and send help on the way. See, your problems become their problems 365 days a year. You'll need this number. You'll want to put this in your phone. Have it. 288-7686. 288-7686. It's Roto-Rooter. 288-7686. Online at rotorooter.com. And remember, Roto-Rooter, that's the name. And away go troubles down the drain. Take the number. You'll thank me later. All right. The Patriots. I've given you some of these other examples that I jotted down of what are potentially the greatest one-era franchises in history. And again, I think those teams are the Russell Celtics and the Barry Yankees, the Graham Browns, Lombardi's Packers, Knowles Steelers, Jordan and Pippen's Bulls, DeBartolo's 49ers, the Montreal Canadiens. But I think that where the Patriots become interesting in this conversation is that they are headed to their ninth Super Bowl. No other quarterback has ever played in more than four. I mean, that's more than double what the Knicks quarterback has done and what the Knicks coach has done. It's so outlandishly above what everyone else has done in an era that was designed to prevent it. And I that's what is, to me, is starting to tip the scales towards saying New England is the greatest single era dynasty in team sport history. Because most of these other teams throughout history, they stockpiled all the talent. I mean, they were great, but they stockpiled all the talent. The leagues that they played in were designed to create superior teams, whether intentionally or unintentionally. When the NFL entered the salary cap era, that all changed. And that's why, you know, all these games you see, even when the Patriots win Super Bowls, as I mentioned the other day, they're all close scores. The Super Bowls used to be blowout. It used to be an enormous concern for the National Football League because every year, you know, all this buildup and then invariably the game would be a blowout. Well, the games aren't blowouts anymore because the talent is so even that what separates teams from winning and losing is just minute. So you don't have it like you had it with the Bartlow and the 49ers where they just stockpiled endless talent. Or really with any of these other organizations. Now, there were times that some of these organizations made trades and made moves that enabled them to be dominant. I mean, the Celtics did a lot of that. You know, and the Celtics have 17 championships, I believe is the number historically. But, you know, they won 11 out of 13 Bill Russell years. 11 out of 13 and 8 straight. So it may be that the Patriots' most significant rival for this mythical title is a team from their own city. Again, the Barry Yankees, I think, would have to be a big part of this conversation as well. But the Yankees also stockpile talent. It was a dynastic era. The Patriots are doing this in an era that not only doesn't promote dynastic operations, it in fact prevents them, or it's supposed to. So if I have a team then that is going to their ninth Super Bowl in, I guess it's 19 years, 18, 19 years, whatever it is, ninth Super Bowl in that time frame, in an era where nobody else can get there twice. Are we talking about the single greatest one-era dynasty in team sport history? I think we might be. I think that may be where we are. The next question as part of this was, is Brady the greatest team sport athlete of all time? Again, you go back X number of years, there were still people debating the quarterback thing. Nobody, I mean, no sane person, is debating the quarterback thing anymore. Nobody. Even the most ardent Patriot haters. No one's debating that anymore. Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. The more recent debate seems to be, is he the greatest football player of all time? For me, the answer to that had always been Jim Brown. It's not Jim Brown anymore. I'm sorry. The answer is Brady. I mean, that seems like a given, right? I mean, 9 Super Bowls? 9. More than 2 times as many as Joe Montana, who's supposed to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. More than 2 times as many. So I think that the football player argument is over. I'm not sure you could choose anybody but Brady as the greatest football player of all time. It seems a given. I'm sorry, who else are you going to choose? I mean, I think the argument now is who's the second best player of all time. And that seems a reasonable debate. But there doesn't seem any debate anymore about who's the greatest football player. So if we're beyond football player, now we're at, is Brady the greatest team sport athlete of all time? Okay, who are your other choices? Well, Bill Russell, Michael Jordan, Otto Graham, Babe Ruth, Yogi Berra. These are some of your other choices. Well, I think the Russell argument is legitimate. I think if you want to argue Bill Russell, I think you can make a really good case for Bill Russell. Still. But if you look at the era the Patriots are playing in, the era that Brady has played in, an era that is designed to prevent what he's done, he is setting marks that will never be approached. No one, look, we have more talented young quarterbacks in this game right now than we have ever had at any point in history, and none of them are ever going to sniff what he's doing. I mean, not even sniff it. He has set the bar so high. And who knows when he's done. But he's about to go to his 9th Super Bowl. I think he's the answer. I think he's now the greatest team sport athlete of all time. I acknowledge you can argue for others. But, I mean, I just don't think that there's anybody close anymore, with the possible exception, if you want to acknowledge Russell. I mean, again, what he's doing was thought to be impossible, period, especially in this era. It was all designed to prevent this. And given the level of success in an era that was designed to prevent it and where no one else is doing it, I think you make a strong case that you're talking about the greatest team sport athlete of all time. John Spinda, in response to these questions, wrote, "They absolutely are. Hope I get to hear what you have to say later, but beyond obvious Brady, you still need to play some defense. Belichick's ability to maximize marginal to above average defensive talent is so remarkable. Not to say they have no talent on defense, rather, I mean, filling in what would be a glaring weakness on any other team due to injury or attrition." Yeah, all right, this is the other part, all right, and the part that I don't think anybody gets, and I don't think 31 NFL teams get it either, and I don't think the NFL gets it, and I'm not sure that anyone but this show has ever discussed it. The Patriots, it starts with Brady, and then it's Belichick, and then it's this. They understand the salary cap to a significantly greater degree than any team understands it. They have mastered it. First off, they have an ingredient that you're going to be hard-pressed to match. And that ingredient is they have the best quarterback in history who is willing to play for less money than many of the other alleged great quarterbacks in the game who aren't worth anything compared to him. And he's also the hardest worker on your team. Those are things, I don't know how you're going to replicate, that the greatest player in the game is the hardest worker in the game, that the greatest player in the game is willing to take less money to play the position than a lot of these church league basketball winning Matthew Ryan and Matthew Stafford and Matthew guys. I mean, how can it be that a Tom Brady is paid less than a Matt Ryan or a Matthew Stafford? Because he wants to win. Now, you might say, well, you know, one thing is his wife makes more than him, so he doesn't need the money. Okay, well, then find that. All right, so go find another one of those then. Go find a guy who's the best that's ever lived, who works harder than anybody else in the league, who's willing to take less money than all the other top quarterbacks in the game because he wants to win, and, oh, by the way, whose wife makes more than him. Go find that same exact set of circumstances, and you'll be on your way to building a Patriots. All right, therefore, there's an obvious element in this that the point is, cannot be equaled. That you're not going to find another circumstance like that, right? So your guy is always going to be less than their guy, right? Until he leaves, which apparently isn't going to be for another 10 years. So that element you can't replicate. We're going to grant that. You can't replicate that element. What about the rest of it? What has been the key to the Patriots' understanding of the salary cap? How does that show itself in terms of results, in terms of how this team has sustained success? Because remember, every year they're drafting at the very bottom of round one. I've touched on this before. I'm going to explore it in further detail now because I think it's a key, and I think it's a key that 31 teams or the majority of the other teams in the National Football League do not fully grasp, nor do I believe the National Football League understands it. Fundamentally, the draft process does not work in a salary cap era. I'll explain. Kansas City Chad, you're coming up first. Let me tell you about First Class HALT. HALT's an acronym. It stands for Honda, Acura, Lexus, Toyota. No one does it like HALT. It's all they do. They don't work on Fords. They don't work on Jeeps. They don't work on anything. They won't even work on my vehicles. I swear, Mark, the head honcho, told me that, you know, I asked him, I said, but you'll work on my Jeep, right? He said, maybe if you bring it around back around 1:30 at night. That's what he actually said to me. So they only work on your vehicles. If you own a Honda, Acura, Lexus, Toyota, and they do it better than anybody else. You know, the reviews are incredible. This is my favorite review. I've been using First Class HALT since Mark opened his first location in Greenville. I now use the Anderson location and get the same excellent service from Greg and Chris. They never try to sell me on a service that I don't need. Always give me a heads up so I'll know what to expect for repairs down the road. They've always been honest, always do a great job on my truck. Every time I've had to purchase a new vehicle, I only choose between Honda and Toyota brands because I know I'll have honest people I can take my vehicle to. I think that's as great a compliment as any business could ever hope to receive in the auto repair industry. I mean, you have a gentleman who's telling you that he buys his vehicles based on having First Class HALT to service them. Well, I'm not sure how it gets better than that. 3-year, 36,000-mile nationwide warranty on their work. Free roadside assistance. Free shuttle to get you back and forth from the shop. Free coffee and snacks while you wait. Or you can take the free shuttle. They only hire the best. Greg has 25 years of Lexus experience. Steve has over 35 years with Honda and Acura. You're getting the top flight specialists in the industry. And they always explain the options to you, and you, the customer, make the final call on all work. That is First Class HALT. You owe it to yourself to go find out. 260-9600 in Anderson. 260-9600. 260-9600. Kansas City Chiefs Chad. Chad's about time. Walt Tiptula Road Rage. Quick break. We'll be back.
This Tuesday, the Tigers hit the road and travel to Tallahassee to take on Leonard Hamilton's Florida State Seminoles in this key ACC matchup in hopes of bringing home a victory. Pre-game starts at 6:30 p.m. with a 7 p.m. first tip right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
It's every basketball game this season from first tip to last buzzer right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Quark here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley has been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
This is George Jeffries again with Metal Building Supply in Piedmont. Do you have nuts? Well, we do, and bolts, panels, trims, and all the accessories you would need to do that shed project or roof on your home. Give us a call and talk to Kevin Brown. We can offer the names of contractors in the area and help you with the materials you need to solve those problems on your commercial building or your home. That's Metal Building Supply, 1500 Elrod Road, just off exit 39 and I-85 in Piedmont. Or call 295-0506 and ask for Kevin.
In the center of it all lies a crown jewel of Anderson, the Anderson Sports and Entertainment Center. Adventure awaits at the KidVenture Playground. There's 64 acres for sports, including 7 ball fields, 3 soccer fields, 8 tennis courts, and miles of hiking paths. A 10,000-seat amphitheater, and the county's largest ballroom and seating for up to 3,200 spectators. Hosting a private event? Look no further than the Anderson Sports and Entertainment Center. In the center of it all, go to AndersonEvents.com.
Are you tired of eating greasy fast food for lunch? Stop in at Carson Steak Warehouse and try their daily lunch specials like cheesy steak quesadillas, delicious bacon cheeseburgers, barbecue sandwiches, and more, all under $8. Also, check out their early bird specials from 3 to 6. Ditch the fast food. Eat fresh at Carson's and Anderson, 150 West Beltline Boulevard in Anderson, besides Tucker's. View their full menu online at carsonsteakwarehouse.net. Again, that's carsonsteakwarehouse.net.
Westminster Vision is now opening a third location on Highway 28 in Pendleton next to State Farm Insurance. This new office will offer even more state-of-the-art medical eye care along with the professional one-on-one eyeglass service we are so proud of. There's a large selection of frames as well as all types of contact lenses, including specialty and custom designs. We'd like to thank our patients and customers who have made this possible. Come by and see us or call 654-4141 for an appointment.
Are you able to navigate today's financial markets to secure your retirement future? The advisors at Kiwi Financial Group understand that you may reach a point in your life when you need answers to countless questions about retirement planning. The Kiwi Financial Group listens to your questions to understand your needs. Trust your financial future with the Kiwi Financial Group in Clemson. Call today at 654-5043 or online at kiwifg.com or visit our office on Pendleton Road next door to Max Drive-In.
The new year is here, and the Mattress Outlet in Seneca is starting the year with huge clearance on mattresses in all sizes. Save up to an additional 10 to 60% on our already low pricing, and you still receive a free foundation with select mattress purchases or upgrade to an adjustable base. Start your new year's right with a new Beautyrest or Serta mattress today. The New Year's clearance at the Mattress Outlet in Seneca opens 7 days a week, located at the corner of the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Hit in the backfield, fumbles the ball, and it's scooped up. Pinckney comes away with it. I think he caused the fumble, and he also picks it up.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Downhill the river. Least to see. In the sticky heat, I feel you. Open up to me. Love.
Walked up to the Red Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. By the way, Marion off air asked about Gretzky. Gretzky is the greatest hockey player ever lived. I don't think the distinction now between Gretzky and the second and third guys is as great as the distinction between Brady and the second and third guys right now. Because for me, as somebody who's watched hockey for a long time, I think Bobby Orr would be number two and Mario Lemieux would be number three. And had Mario Lemieux not had all of his physical issues, including cancer, that conversation might be very close. between Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky. But Gretzky's a great call. I mean, Gretzky is there. He's definitely in that mix of the most dominant team sport athletes of all time. Obviously, a sport that is not as mainstream as the three major sports are, but nonetheless, Gretzky did things that, you know, I'm not sure we'll ever see done again. But I said that, and then, you know, Mario Lemieux came along. But I think, again, Bobby Orr is in that mix. And he's certainly part of this conversation. Chad, I'm coming to you in 1 second. Here's the thing. When you look at the makeup of the New England Patriots, you realize that they get a lot of reclamation projects. They let guys go who are their best athletes defensively because they don't want any lone rangers. They want people who fit within a scheme. At times, I think that has hurt them. But, you know, consistently, they have drafted at the end of round one. So they have not drafted. Again, I don't love the notion of the welfare system that football attempts to employ because I don't like rewarding the same losers year after year after year. And it seems to me it would help your game as a whole if the goal was that, you know, maybe the best team got the number one draft pick, then you certainly wouldn't have people tanking at the end of the year as you do now. But there's another problem. You know, again, you look at these Patriots defensive line, you have guys like Trey Flowers, Dedrick Wise. These guys came from Arkansas. Nobody even wanted them. Trey Flowers is probably the best player on that defense right now. Nobody really wanted him. Nobody wanted Dedrick Wise. Dedrick Wise is like a 6th-round draft pick off the top of my head. Malcolm Brown was a late round one draft pick. He's not played up to that level. Some of these other guys were drafted highly by other organizations, Stephon Gilmore, Kyle Van Noy, but didn't find fits and ultimately found them in New England, where Gilmore has developed into perhaps the best cornerback in the National Football League. But here's the point. It's this. In a salary cap system, even when you cap the rookie salaries, as the NFL has done now, you still have a system that's really not designed to help the weak. In the recent past, before the rookie salary cap, you couldn't draft these guys at the top. It wouldn't really make you better. Because let's say you draft a quarterback and it costs you $100 million, which it doesn't now. But then, by the time they reach their 4 or 5 years, they're just coming into their own, and now you can't afford them anymore. Because you're at the top of this draft selecting high-priced guys every single year. Now, it's not as big an issue as it was before rookie salaries were capped, but it's still a big issue. In other words, what I'm telling you is, the New England Patriots are constructed by stockpiling 2nd and 3rd round draft picks because you can pay those guys. And so they build a chemistry that is built on the backs of guys who are not elite players. They mix in a few elite players where they can afford it, but that's how they understand the salary cap. They're basically a team of 2nd, 3rd, 4th round draft picks. 5th, 6th round draft picks. They are not a team that is built on the backs of high-priced talent. Because when you're at the top of the draft every year, like the San Francisco 49ers are, every year you're drafting a player that 4 years from now, 5 years from now, you'd have to pay. Or let them go. And guess what? Since you suck, you're not actually going to be good by then in most cases. So by the time the bill comes due on those guys, you're just getting better. And now you got to make decisions as to which ones you keep and which ones you let go. It is the strangest circumstance of the National Football League and the way it's constructed that fundamentally, I don't think having high draft picks every year benefits these teams. I know that sounds incredible, but I think it's true under a salary cap era. The Patriots manage the salary cap by stockpiling. They're not concerned. You don't see the Patriots moving up to get guys. They're moving back. They're collecting additional second and third round picks. And they're drafting those guys, and they're building the fiber of their team, and they don't have to pay these guys a ton of money. They don't have to pay them a ton of money. The bill basically never comes due on them. And if it does, that's when they let them go. These other teams that are locked at the top of the draft in a constant cycle of drafting highly rated, highly regarded players, again, eventually the bill comes due on all these guys and you can't afford to pay them all. And the worst part is, it's by the time they get good, that's the time they're going. You know, you keep them for 3-4 years. By the time they actually start to amount to something, that's when they start to plan their exit. It's just this really strange dynamic that I think exists in the National Football League that no one identifies or talks about or understands. And this is why the Patriots are always looking to deal back and acquire more picks, because they understand the nature of football in a salary cap era. Now, again, you're never going to get that, all that quarterback stuff. You're never going to get the guy who's the greatest ever. You're never going to get the guy who's the hardest worker who happens to be the greatest ever. You're never going to get the guy who's willing to give up money because he wants to win. You're never going to get the guy whose wife makes more than him, so he doesn't need the money. Not that he wouldn't give it up anyway, because the guy wants to win more than any player ever existed. Kansas City Chiefs, Chad. Chad.
Walt, how are you, sir?
How are you, Chad? Appreciate you getting in.
I'm doing good, man. Tough loss and everything. I'm not one of these people who beat the drum over, you know, changing the rules after a game or something like that. You know, overtime is overtime, and, you know, they won the game how they won the game. I'm really enjoying the conversation you're having right now, and I kind of want to pitch it a little bit, you know, and I know the Patriots have done it so well for so long, and I kind of want to pitch it to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have a really interesting conundrum here coming up based on, you know, we found guys for value in the draft. You know, Tyreek Hill with his domestic violence problem, found him in the fifth round, found Travis Kelce third round, and Travis actually took like a pretty decent contract when he was up for a contract. But you got Chris Jones coming up. You got a lot of guys, and what you do with those guys are going to what, you know, how we look here in the next year, 2-3 years. And it's a big deal. And
look at the Eagles.
Manages it.
Right. And look at the Eagles. The Eagles, the Eagles are a really pricey team, and they're going to have all sorts of decisions to make regarding personnel. See, the Patriots don't have those decisions. They don't have those pricey guys. And when they get them, they send them away. Now, you're going to have some major problems, because Kelce is the best pass-catching tight end in football and is a better inline blocker than he used to be. Tyreek Hill is the fastest guy in the NFL. And Chris Jones has developed into a super dominant force. I mean, I'm not so sure that there's a better defensive lineman in football than Chris Jones.
It's him and Aaron Donald.
With all due respect to Aaron Donald, even, because Donald is so explosive and he gets upfield and he's so disruptive. But the advantage that Jones has is he's also extremely disruptive and gets upfield, but he's a bigger man in some sense.
He's way bigger.
You know, so
I mean, he's like a giant cat, man. It don't even make any sense to watch what he does on the field.
Well,
it's going to be very interesting to see Brett Veach manage all this and how this goes. And we're talking about franchising Dee Ford, and, you know, God bless Dee Ford and his holding penalty, which cost us the game, or his offsides penalty, which cost us the game. But, you know, I don't think you can afford, when you're looking at Tyreek, when you're looking at Travis Kelce, when you're looking at possibly having to pay Mahomes here in a year or two, when you're looking at all these factors, I just don't see a way to hold on to Dee Ford. Almost a waste of money to franchise him.
Yeah, I don't either. And I also think that one of the things you're going to have to look at in the offseason, in my estimation, is, and I know he made a play in the championship game, but you need more athletic inside linebackers.
Oh, yes.
And that's, oh,
I know Ragland had his pick, but yeah, that pick came off
it's a miracle.
I don't know if you've seen the backstory of this. The pick came off of Chris Jones basically screaming, pass.
Right.
And everybody jumped the back, and he happened to fall into the right position based on Chris Jones. I mean, you can find another guy to do that.
Right. Ragland is just a run stuffer. That was a miracle. That'll never happen again. He's terrible in coverage. And quite honestly,
I agree.
In that scheme, you have relied on athletic linebackers. You had Derek Johnson.
Yes.
And I think it's a big concern for that defense. I think clearly that is an area in my mind that you have to upgrade. It's one of an area I would expect the Chiefs to address in the draft as well. But you're exactly right.
Agree.
Yeah, you're gonna be facing these challenges regarding the players that some of those players have developed into, and how you handle it will determine a lot of your success or lack thereof in the future.
And I think Beach has done a good job to this point. I mean, jumping up from Mahomes, obviously you didn't know if it was gonna pan out, but jumping up from Mahomes, coming up on Alex Smith's $20 million year, you know, you jumped on Mahomes, you drafted him a year early. You got rid of that $20 million quarterback number coming up. And, you know, obviously, you know, it worked this year. But he's going to have to continue to do that year after year after year to be anywhere near the Patriots are. The only other one thing I wanted to touch on, Walt, and it's a very simple thing, and I'm not trying to discredit Tom Brady at all. I believe he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Well,
in question. That's not in question at all. The only thing I would question about greatest team player of all time is – And it kind of hits him just because of the sport he plays, but they're not two-way players. He doesn't ever walk out there on defense. And in basketball, you have...
Hold on. I'll get back to you. Cliff, I'm coming to you.
Another hour of great sports talk from the Priority One Security Studios. We are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.